Can everybody hear me okay? For the English translation, is my volume loud enough? Okay, good, wonderful. Just a reminder, we have a request for today's meeting. If you could please turn on your video, that way we could still have the same condition of our meeting where we are face to face. And so if you have not turned on your video, we do ask that you would do that now. Thank you. And as we begin, we're very glad that today we have Sister Amy who will be sharing with us about marriage and family. But before we begin, let's sing a hymn together. This is 355, called Near to the Heart of God. Let us pray. Lord, we Jesus, we thank you because you again give us this opportunity that we can gather in your presence. Lord, we thank you that you have given us such grace. And as we gather together, Lord, we do want to draw near to your heart. And Lord, we thank you for your great love because in your bosom, in the bosom of the Father, that is also the place closest to your heart. And Lord, this is where you want to reveal to us your heart's will. And so for the following time, Lord, we place it into your gracious hands so that not only we may come to know your will, but Lord, may you also allow your will to be accomplished through us, that through every family we may become your testimony. Lord, we thank you for giving us this following time. Lord, we do pray that you would lead the following time. Thank you, Jesus. We pray this in your most precious name. Amen. And so before our Sister Amy will share, I do want to remind everyone, please keep your video on. This is a request of the meeting. And we hope that everybody can submit to that. All right, we'll pass the time to our Sister Amy now. Our Sister Amy will try to share her screen now and share her PowerPoint with us. And everyone is able to hear my voice? Thank the Lord. I now have this particular format to be able to share with everyone. Now, when our responsible sister called me several weeks ago at that time, I knew there was this need, of course, in my heart, I was very willing. But of course, I had a lot of other meetings that was at the top of my mind, so I didn't put too much thought into this meeting. But then after all those other special meetings concluded, I had some more time to pray about this topic. At first, I didn't have a whole lot of heavy burden because in this topic, we've talked about it many times in many gatherings, and over the many years, we've been circling this topic a lot. But then as the day came closer and closer to July 4th, this burden became heavier and heavier in my heart. And amazingly, I started to think about when I was young. I don't know why, but every time when I thought about the HCA workshop, the Lord was bringing me back to when I was young to remind me in my spiritual journey, how did I begin? Because I was thinking back, for each one of us, as we are on this path, how we begin that foundation, or you could say the very beginning of your journey, if it does not begin in life, it is possible that you will waste a lot of time, a lot of years. If you pursue after a lot of outward methods, or perhaps a teaching or a way, and you are not in the spiritual life, then it will determine how much you gain of the Lord. And so I found it very amazing, particularly in these last few weeks as I was waiting before him. It was as if I was transported back to when I was single before I was married. I was living in Los Angeles at that time, Brother Wei's whole family. I was living in an apartment. It was called the Home of Disciples. And a few blocks over was where Brother Wei lived. And at that time, because I was single, I had a lot of confusions, a lot of difficulties and problems. So I would walk a couple blocks over to go find Uncle Wei. I would sit in his living room and I would look at him. And I would ask all the questions in my heart. He would look at me, he would smile, he would nod his head. And after I spoke, I would just sit there and look at him. And he would very gently ask me this one question. He said, "Sister Amy, what does Jesus inside of you say?" And then I would say, "I don't know what he says to me. Because he's the elder brother. I'm this young sister." And to find him, it was the quickest way. He could tell me the answers, A, B, C, and D. But Brother Wei just sit on the sofa and he would just sway back and forth. And he said, "Amy, Jesus inside of you, what does he say to you?" And I would say, "I don't know. I haven't asked Jesus yet." And so he said to me, go back, go talk to Jesus. So after several times, I realized, as I think back, Brother Wei gave me a very important key. He changed my questions back to the Lord Jesus. He did not want to answer me. He wanted me to go face the Lord Jesus. I was in my early 20s. To me, a lot of spiritual things was just a term. Yes, I consecrated myself. I was serving the young people. I had a lot of services. I was not a newbie in serving the Lord Jesus. But when he asked me this, I all of a sudden realized that within me, I didn't have that close experience. It was all in my head. I knew it. Only. And so in these last few weeks, as I started to think back, I really am grateful to Brother Wei because he gave me a very good spiritual foundation. And in this spiritual education inside of me, it became a great help because I realized that as I need to face the Lord for myself personally, it became a very personal, close, intimate encounter with the Lord Jesus. If the Lord Jesus spoke, he bears responsibility. If the Lord has not spoken and I say, then everything, I bear the responsibility. Then it's my matter. But I need to hear the voice of the Lord. And so in this education and in this training over the years, I realized it has become a very deep, important key in my life. After all these many years, in this particular topic of marriage and family, between spouses, in raising children, all of these things, these outward themes or topics, if you look back at them, first we need to look at the very foundation. You need to go back to the very original foundation. You need to face, in that way, the outward issues. If you do not have a strong foundation, then all of these outward things, according to our own capacity, according to the Lord's time, yes, he will reveal it to us. I feel that as I begin, I do need to share some of my burdens before I have started into my topic. Because after all these many, many years, we've talked about this topic upside down and inside out. We've talked about this topic many, many times. But somehow I feel regret. I feel true regret. Because somehow brothers and sisters still haven't found the way. That we still haven't really found our way on this path. Why are we still talking about this? When we need to talk about headship, where is the true headship? Why do we still have so many issues in our families? And over, we're still talking about the same topic. So I really thank the Lord. Starting from March, this year. Up until now, there's so many meetings. We have stopped so many outward activities and meetings. And our outward career, our jobs, our so-called normal life, we have stopped all of these things. The Lord has used this pandemic and used this particular topic to be a blessing to us. Because previously, particularly for these young families, we are so incredibly busy for school, for homework, for our jobs, for our tutoring, for our extracurricular activities. We're so busy. And many families, we have this habit where we have given the spiritual responsibility of our families to the Sunday school teachers. We have passed the responsibility of their spiritual education over to the uncles and aunties of church. And we have not borne our own responsibility of being the spiritual teachers. But now, because of the pandemic, we cannot leave our homes. We have to be face-to-face to our children. So I thank and praise the Lord. This has been a blessing in disguise. To the parents, this is a very painful experience. To the children, it is also a painful experience because every week I am serving this group of young people online and they cannot smile. Every one of them, they're all frowning. And in their fellowship, they say a lot of the things that have happened in their homes, in my heart, I really thank the Lord because now parents have to be parents. Fathers have to be fathers. As mothers, mothers need to be moms now. We need to take care of our own children. We have to bear our parental responsibilities. And so I thank the Lord. Sometimes because we have outside invitations, and I do get emails from these brothers and sisters elsewhere, they say, I am now, my life is upside down because I have to face my children every day. I say in my response, thank the Lord, because now you really have to be before the Lord and learn to be a mom. It's no longer the responsibility of the brothers and sisters at church. It's our own personal responsibility. And so with this, from this very unfortunate pandemic issue, we have to face our family lives. The Lord has given us special grace. Why? Brothers and sisters, I deeply feel that our Lord Jesus is about to return. One day, when the Lord returns, let's say, for example, we come before the judgment seat, the Lord will ask you and me, Amy, I have given you these two children. Where are they? Can I say to the Lord, oh goodness, I'm so sorry. My daughter, I have given them to that particular organization and they stumbled them. And I don't know where my son is right now. We cannot say to the Lord, I don't know. We cannot say that. Every child, every family, one day, we need to give an account. Everything we have said, everything we have done in our service, it needs to go through fire, testing by fire. So oftentimes when I think of this, and when I think of how the Lord will return very soon, I have a lot of deep impression about it. So this time, now that there is another request from HCA to talk about marriage and family life, I do want to have this reminder at the beginning. A very deep burden that I feel. Why? Because time has gone by so fast. When I was just first married, my daughter was just born. And that's me, Stephanie. As I was just born, we were living in Montlake Terrace in Seattle. Brother Wei, he came particularly from Los Angeles to live with my family for 1 month. In that 1 month, he would often hold Stephanie and put her on his leg and shake and then he would have fellowship with us. At that time, he had not moved to Houston yet. And so I knew at that time he really hoped Brother Bo and I would move to Houston to serve together with him. I had a very deep impression of him because he was our elder. And he really had a lot of spiritual fellowship with us. And all of a sudden, all these years are, and now Stephanie is grown. And just this morning, I was telling my husband, our daughter, It's almost 40 years old. Time has gone by so fast. So, brothers and sisters, our children are now still with us. They are primary 1 all the way through grade 5. In this age range, if we have not grabbed a hold of this time of our children being with us to be our spiritual companions, I forgive me, perhaps I will say some very weighty words. There's so many there are so many opportunities we will lose them without realizing. If we have not started at the right time with a spiritual foundation and education, if you wait till middle school and high school, it will be very difficult. Let me just use these few minutes to talk about that, some of the burdens that I have in my heart. Because as I prepared this PowerPoint, I really did want to mention these things. Okay, so now we'll enter into our main topic. And also, during my fellowship, if brothers and sisters, you have any questions, please do record down your questions, write them down, and perhaps later we will have some question and answer time. But for the sake of time right now, I will not stop to answer any questions just yet. We will ask also Brother Kong to read it in Chinese, and I will read the English translation. So the very first line, assuming these agreements are there. So as we begin our family lives, let's assume that these agreements are between the husband and wife. First assumption is that both of the parents are born-again believers. We've experienced the sense of life. This is very important. As parents, we are mom and dad. We need to be born again. It's not just that in your head you know the Lord Jesus has loved you and died for you, but His life has entered into our life. He is my personal Savior. We have truly been born again, and we have new life. Not only do you have this head knowledge, but you have experienced spiritual life. You have a sense of this life. Moms and dads, if we ourselves have never experienced what is the sense of life, then I will worry for you. Because if we have no sense of life, then how can we bring our children before the Lord so that they will have a sense of life? Do you understand? This is so important. Oftentimes, the brothers who speak on the pulpit, they talk about the sense of life. But then when we come to our daily lives, do we ourselves have the sense of life? As parents, we all need to ask ourselves, do we have this? Have we experienced it? If not, then we really need to kneel before Him and reflect and ask, where am I before the Lord in this path? Have I really entered this path? If I do not have this sense of life, then perhaps I am not yet born again. The Lord is the head of the house. Yes, the Lord is the head of our house. This phrase is very, very difficult. Why? Because particularly in this 21st century, in our families, oftentimes the mother has come out of mainland China, perhaps Hong Kong, or perhaps the husband has come from a different location. Every parent has strong opinions and strong personalities. And so is the Lord the head of the house, particularly in this phrase, he is the head of the house, the head of the brother as well as the head of the sister. This needs to be a balance, not only for the husband to say to the wife that you need to submit, but I also need to ask the brother, the husband, are you also submitting beneath the headship of the Lord? If he is the head of the house, and this is indeed the case, it will solve and we will be able to avoid many, many arguments and discussions and problems. So as I began to prepare this message, he reminded me of some of the lessons that I learned as I was first married. Forgive me, I'm going to use some of my own personal experiences to share. What does it mean that the Lord Jesus is our head? As I was newly married, we lived in a very small broken house in Seattle. I was a newly wed wife, and I really wanted to decorate my house. In my imagination, this room, I was going to hang this picture this way. I was going to put this picture that way and there. And then, later I realized, when I wanted to hang a picture this way, my husband was unhappy. He was very unhappy. Why? Because he said, "This wall is clean. It's so good. Why do you need to put a hole there? Don't punch a hole in that wall." So I said, "Well, I want to hang a picture." He says, "No, just put it on the table." And so, if the Lord is the head of the house, as the wife, I need to learn to submit to my husband. In this lesson, as the beginning, it was very difficult. Why? Because he did not allow me to nail anything in the wall and hang anything. So my house, my bedroom, my living room, my kitchen, all the walls were bare because he did not allow me to nail anything in the walls. And later on, after we left Seattle, we went to Vancouver. We moved to many, many other places. The very first thing I did, I would quickly look around whether I was buying a house or renting a house. I would look if there was any hole in any wall. Which wall had a hole in it? Then I could hang something in that hole. This is practice and learning that Jesus is the head of my house. I will not argue because this is what I'm learning. So as a wife, I have my wife perspective. But for the husband also has his learning. Over the years, I learned that two of us, we're both learning, both growing, because the Lord is the head of the house. And indeed, I found that the climate between husband and wife, there was no need to argue. It's a non-issue. Okay. The next line says, the Holy Spirit needs to be honored. The Holy Spirit is also an agreement in us. When He moves me, we need to honor, mutually honor the Lord inside of us, the Spirit inside of one of us. In our marriage, it doesn't matter what age your child is and what grade they are in. This is a lifelong lesson. Personally speaking, when we follow the Lord, we need to have a mutual respect and honor for the Holy Spirit in one another. I won't go on for another hour about this. The next line, the center of the family should be God and not our children. We all need to agree on this point. The center is not the children. Thank you. Please, the center of the family is the Lord. It is God. In this point, I find in brothers and sisters, in our everyday life, I truly find that I've talked about this for many, many years, but so often when the children they need to have a test or an activity or a competition, these outward activities and requirements of these children, everything else in terms of the church meetings, the Lord, we put it down. This has happened so many times and we have to learn so many lessons on this. We thank the Lord that young parents, if you are here online, please allow this to come into our heart and mind. The Lord and God is the center of our family, not the children's grades, not their academics, not their activities. Our family is for the Lord. Every family needs to search themselves. Next point, both will serve together in the church family. In this point, both mom and dad, parents, need to agree that they will serve together. I hope that this is also an agreement between parents. Oftentimes, if a brother is willing but a sister is not willing, then you will have much to learn in endurance and patience, perhaps the father or the mother. On both hands, both parties need to come before the Lord. Later, as you begin to serve, how will you serve? I remember before I was saved, my son, before he was married, he had just been engaged, and he brought his fiance to my home. And now she's my daughter-in-law. And so I had a fellowship with her for the whole evening. And so that night, I spoke to her regarding service. And I said to her, and I called her by her name, I said, later when you serve, I hope you need, wherever your husband serves, that is where you serve. Wherever your husband goes to serve, if it's in the kitchen, I hope you will also go with one heart in the kitchen. If your husband has been invited to go anywhere, I hope you will go together. You are still very young. Your husband is also very young. He was only in his early 30s. I said, you need to be each other's covering. Cover one another. And later on, I'm going to talk more about this. But as husband and wife, you are one. When you serve together to prevent the enemy to come in to your marriage, to come into your family, and to destroy your family, the husband needs to watch over the wife. And the wife also needs to watch over the husband. There's many things to learn here. Okay. So if you are in agreement about all these things, then what? Let's continue on. Now, we're going to move away from theories and principles. We need to start walking in our daily lives. We know many, many theories. If at HCA you have been here for a handful of years, you've heard more or less about all of these principles and theories. So number one, allow God to do the actual building up of our character, first at the home front and then in the church body. So as you begin to walk, as we walk in our daily lives, first, we need to have this thought. We need to allow the Lord to work in our character, in our temperament, in my personality. He needs to first do that building work of what is within me. This begins in the family. This is the best place to learn. And then we can talk about church life. Because if you have not taken care of your own personal issues, how can you serve? Number two, home life is the best opportunity to apply the lesson of the cross. The best place, of course, in our jobs and outwardly, in public, in our friendships, in many matters, of course, we can learn the lesson of the cross. But the very best place is in our homes. This is the best place. This is what God has given to us. Even our neighbor's dog can also be our lessons of the cross. It's the best place. Okay, now we're going to move on to talk about the application of the cross. Let's read this entire slide. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Every single phrase here in 1 Corinthians 13, these are our daily life training. Oftentimes, in these particular phrases of these verses, you will find that when you really need to walk through them, it is not easy. It is truly difficult. Why? Because we are of the flesh. We have our own tempers. Some people are very fast. Some people are very slow. And places that we are very, very sensitive. But in our daily home lives, we have not learn the lessons of the cross, no impression of the cross, just a very small matter, and then we would ruin the atmosphere of the home. I remember one time, it was before my daughter was born. It was in my early days of marriage. I was very pregnant. And during that time, I don't know why, but I constantly was bleeding and hemorrhaging. And so a lot of the saints says, lay down, don't move. And so that time, I remember, there was one day I did not go to work. I laid in bed. As I was laying there, I remembered that the previous night, my husband said something. And all of a sudden, what he said came back to my mind. And the more I thought about it, the more angry I became. And the more I thought about it, the more angry I was. Why did he say that? Was he so insensitive to me? So the more I thought about it, I was so angry that I started to cry. And because I was a young bride at that time, I was a very young wife. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said to me, love does not take into account any unrighteousness. Love does not take into account any wrong suffered. And I said, oh yeah, that's right. What am I doing? Why am I crying? The Lord's words inside of us. If you have a heart to really learn before the Lord, to be corrected by the Lord, He will use His words to gradually change us. This is the lesson of the cross. And little by little, you will learn it. Okay, our next slide. In other words, our mindset needs to be adjusted. So it is no longer my money, my account, my house. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And next, we need to adopt a new term, our money, our house. For two now has become one. Yes, now when there are two people at the same time, all things, we are together. We are one and cannot be separated. I have found recently in our services among the brothers and sisters, many families somehow have this very interesting thought that in their families, yes, you have the parents, you have the grandparents, it's your parents and my parents and my account, your account. And then for some reason, the parents are together and the generation above us are together. It's yours and mine and separated. One time there was this couple that came to us. The wife, from 8 o'clock until midnight, she just cried because of this yours and mine issue. And afterwards, I said, excuse me, could I say a few things? And the husband looked at me and said, it sounds as if it's a business deal between the two of you. Are you a family? When we speak of our family lives, if it's yours and mine, and then it's only a business transaction. It's not like a family. And so in this thought, in this headship, and in our mindset, we have an adjustment. Brothers and sisters, this is an inward adjustment in our mind. Perhaps it's your background. Perhaps it's your environment. We have lots of things that are different. But now that God has put us together, now we need to have this very important mindset that we are one. Now, something to think about. Have we ever taken care of plants or flower pots at home? What happens when we add too much water or not enough water? Perhaps this is a very basic and elementary question. But if you are to think deeper about this, marriage life, if you are to maintain it to the very end, it is a very difficult learning. Of course, at the beginning, everyone's so excited. You're constantly watering the plants, watering it, but 20 years, 30 years, 40 years pass by. Then what happens? We have seen each other very clearly. We have seen each other's weaknesses. We have seen the points that we dislike about one another, our shortcomings in the other person. We figured out the other person completely. 30 years, 40 years have passed by. We have not taken care of it, taken care of this flower pot as time goes on. That love relationship. Have we embraced one another? Because gradually we've stopped tending. This is the best time for the enemy to come in because we have not taken care of this marriage. Then what happens? Now the husband now looks elsewhere. Or the wives, the sisters start to look elsewhere because you have not watered your own garden. This is a very important point. Now we're going to come into our next topic, role of the father and husband. Number one, 1 Timothy 3:4. One must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. Then Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we're not talking about the overall picture, but we're going into more details now. So this afternoon, during this time, I hope I can spend a little bit more time to emphasize the role of the father. And then next time, we will talk about the role of the mother and wife. So now we're going to talk about the father. Oh, the third time we'll talk about raising children. But here, there are two verses. First, 1 Timothy 3:4, as well as Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks about the fathers with the children. And then Ephesians 5:23 and 25 talk about how the brother is to talk about be a husband. In these four verses, talks about being a dad, being the head of the house. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, he must keep his children under control with all dignity. And so we think, as fathers, if we have no self-control ourselves, how can we control our own children? If we have not controlled our own tempers, controlled my own impulses of how I speak, how I cannot require my children to control their tongues. I cannot require for them to submit. As fathers, if all of a sudden I cause my children to be angry, then what happens to the climate of my family? As the husband of the wife, how are we to love our wives? How are we to give our lives for her? In these matters, have we really applied our heart in all diligence to learn it? So to talk about being a father, I do believe you have talked a lot about it. I won't go into too much, but I thank the Lord. The Bible does give us an example of being a husband. And so talking about personalities, the husband and the wife in their life, from the recording in the Bible, what is it that we can learn? Shall we all take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 25? First Samuel 25, 1 to 38. This we need to read on our own because I have not typed it all out. Please flip to your own Bible. 1 Samuel 25. We will read from verse 1 to 38. Then Samuel died, and all Israel gathered together and mourned for him and buried him at his house in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And it came about while he was shearing his sheep in Carmel, now the man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. And the woman was intelligent and beautiful in appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his dealings, and he was a Calebite. That David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, visit Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say, 'Have a long life, peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. Now I have heard that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we have not insulted them, nor have they missed anything all the days they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we have come on a festive day. Please give whatever you find at hand to your servants and to your son David.' When David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in David's name. Then they waited. But Nabal answered David's servants and said, 'Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants today who are each breaking away from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men whose origin I do not know?' So David's young men retraced their way and went back. And they came and told him according to all these words. David said to his men, 'Each of you gird on his sword.' So each man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword, and about 400 men went up behind David, while 200 stayed with the baggage. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, 'Behold, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he scorned them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we were not insulted, nor did we miss anything as long as we went about with them while we were in the fields. They were to a wall to us both by night and by day, all the time we were with them tending the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what you should do, for evil is plotted against our master and against all his household, and he is such a worthless man that no one can speak to him.' Then Abigail hurried and took 200 loaves of bread and 2 jugs of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 measures of roasted grain and 100 clusters of raisin and 200 cakes of figs and loaded them on donkeys. She said to her young men, 'Go on before me. Behold, I am coming after you.' But she did not tell her husband Nabal. It came about as she was riding on her donkey and coming down by the hidden part of the mountain that, behold, David and his men were coming down toward her. So she met them. Now David had said, 'Surely in vain I have guarded all that this man has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him, and he has returned me evil for good. May God do so to the enemies of David and more also, if by morning I leave as much as 1 male of any who belong to him.' When Abigail saw David, she hurried and dismounted from her donkey and fell on her face before David and bowed herself to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, 'On me alone, my lord, be the blame. And please let your maidservant speak to you and listen to the words of your maidservant. Please do not let my lord pay attention to this worthless man, Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my lord whom you sent. Now, therefore, my lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself by your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek evil against my lord be as Nabal. Now let this gift which your maidservant has brought to my lord be given to the young men who accompany my lord. Please forgive the transgression of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my lord an enduring house, because my lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and an evil will not be found in all your days. Should anyone rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, then the life of my lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And when the Lord does for my lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and appoints you ruler over Israel, this will not cause grief or a troubled heart to my lord, both by having shed blood without cause, and by my lord having avenged himself. When the Lord deals well with my lord, then remember your maidservant.' Then David said to Abigail, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hand. Nevertheless, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has restrained me from harming you, unless you had come quickly to meet me, surely there would not have been left in Nabal until the morning light as much as one male. So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, "Go up to your house in peace. See, I have listened to you and granted your request." Then Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she did not tell him anything at all until the morning light. But in the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, so that he became as a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. I particularly chose this marriage story because it is very true and living before us to show us the corruption of man's nature. We see Nabal's character, his personality and character. In the original, it says that he's a churlish man. Churlish. It is rude, vulgar, difficult to live with, and uncivilized, and also cynical. And these are some of the terms that I also sought out. It includes being cynical, talking back, talk negatively, insensitive to others' feelings, speaking sharp words, arrogant, quick temper, and insulting. So the question is, was he born with that, and all that happened overnight? So fathers, dads, when we see this person, Nabal, and his personality, how he spoke, his responses, etc., all of these characteristics which we have listed here, somehow to me, how could a person be like this? Let's think. Was he born like this? And overnight it happened to be like that? That's not possible. As a mother, and now as a grandmother, many of these character traits, if you have not trained a person well, when you grow up, you will become like this. It is very possible to have these characteristics. So for all of you online, do you agree with me? Oftentimes as a child, when a little bit of personality comes out, a little bit of temperament or anger comes out, you need to have the long-term perspective to see at the time of offense. When you see the problem, you have not put a stop to it. If you have not spoken, gradually, these things will become the bad habits of a person. It will become their personality. So from Nabal, we can learn a lot of things from the negative aspect. These are very important lessons. So as parents, particularly for the young children in the primary age level, have you come to see that our children in these aspects, have they offended and caused these things to appear in their lives? Because if these things are not corrected, these bad habits will become the person's character. It is very terrible. And let's go on. And from Abigail. But we will see more of Nabal's character. From 1 Samuel 25:25, it says, "Please do not let my Lord pay attention to this worthless man Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him." This is the perspective of his wife. She doesn't have much good to say about him. And from Nabal's servants' testimony, they say, "He insulted him. The masters insulted them. He is a worthless fellow. No one can speak to him." These are the testimonies of Nabal's own servants. It's a very poor testimony, a bad testimony. If you are to put it plainly, there is no good testimony from this man. But now let's look a little bit more carefully. From his wife and from his servants, we can pull out some very important points to meditate upon. First, He appears to be blind to himself. In English, there's this phrase that says that he's in La La Land. He cannot see himself. He's blind to himself. And then, does he realize that he is a loner? Is that so? No, the servant says no one dares to speak to him. No one can speak to him. This is awful. You are so rich. You have so much money, so many cattle and sheep, and so many servants. But his servant says nobody dares speak to him. What do you think about his communication skill with his wife Abigail? Let's think about this. For this man, with such a personality and character, as his wife lives with him, and her judgment of her husband is like that, what do you think about their communication skills? Is it good? I can imagine it must be very, very bad. So, why do you think communication skill is important between husband and wife? If between husband and wife, if there are many disagreements and differences in the communication skill, would the family life be abundant? Will the children have a sense of security? Let's imagine in our families. Yes, we just said that there's a lot of things we agree about, but as we walk together, how are we living and walking together? If the communication is poor between spouses, can we imagine what this will be like between parents and children, between parents and grandparents, grandkids and grandparents, between parents and in-laws? Right, brothers and sisters? Because we are two families now coming together as one. And so our boundaries have increased. It's not just between the husband and wife. We have the young ones below us. We have the elderly ones above us. And so between the husband and wife, if we do not have good communication, are you communicating with your children? Then between the children and the grandparents, do they have difficulties? Because if there's a lot of things that are not explained clearly, and there's no agreement between the parties, a lot of conflicts can come. So starting from communication, I realize that this is a very, very important learning and lesson. And so here I do want to give you a personal example. At that time, we were still living in Vancouver, Canada. My children were very young. Brother Bohr, because he was serving together with another elderly brother, he said, "That elderly brother lives together with his parents, so I also want to live with my parents." So at that time, I thought perhaps it's because he's from Taiwan. So perhaps this is a cultural thing where a lot of the parents live with the families. I was constantly looking at other families, but then all of a sudden, my own husband said, "I want my parents to come and live with us." So in my heart, I started to feel fear. I started to be afraid. And at that time in Vancouver, one year, he particularly made a trip to Taiwan to get a visa for his parents to come to the U.S. So I said, okay. And while he was still there in Taiwan, he gave me a phone call and said, "Amy, go find a lawyer." I was surprised. I said, "Find a lawyer for what?" He says, "Go find a lawyer. Because grandparents have asked, yes, they want to come to the U.S., but they must bring my nephew, and we need to adopt him." And I said, "Oh, really?" He says, "Yes, go find a lawyer." That was it. That was a phone call. And so after I hung up the phone, in my heart, I said, "Oh, I need to adopt my nephew? And his parents are coming, moving over too?" And so it was a huge shock to me. And this was not communication. This was a command. And so to me, it was so hard to accept. But Brother Wei, many years ago, said to me, What does Jesus say in your heart? This became my habit. So immediately I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, what do I do? Quickly, I went to this life habit where very quickly, you know, when I was facing this matter, I went before the Lord and I said, Lord, what do I do? So we asked for a lawyer to come. And so one step after another step, we went toward the process of adoption. And at the end, when the social worker came to interview me, and I needed to go, Brother Bohr could not go. So when I went, the social worker asked me, what do you think of this adoption? And as I sat there, I said nothing. I had nothing to say because I felt no one ever asked me what I thought. I was just told that I needed to do this. So I said to the social worker, you're the first person to ask me how I felt. I said very honestly. So when I went back, and Brother Bohr asked me, how did the interview go? And I said to my husband, I said, the social worker asked me this, and this is what I said. And then all of a sudden, Brother Bohr's eyes became really, really wide and said, oh, I never asked you whether this was good or not. I never asked you how you felt. I just did it. Not one person is perfect, brothers and sisters. Not one father or one marriage is perfect. We are all learning. We are all learning. And all of a sudden, he realized that he never asked his wife. And so in this lesson of the cross, when you have this thought and you begin to walk, there are many, many lessons to be learned. For what? So that we can grow up and mature. We need to grow up. So between us, as we communicate, it will influence our family life. It will influence our education to our children and how we interact with the older generation. So in the in-law relationship, of course, many, many things happened and many lessons were learned. 40 years have passed. I thank the Lord. All these things are over. They're all over. There's no shadow within me. Why? It is because of what we are learning. I need to move on. I cannot talk more about this now. So now, speaking of communication, do we, husbands, spend time, make an effort to talk with our spouses? Spend time. If you've never thought about this, now, we have a lot of time. We're all at home. Jesus has all closed us up at home. You cannot go out now. So even if you go out, be careful. But now at home, do you spend time to talk with one another? Do not assume that in your marriage that now 20, 30 years, you don't have to say anything. No, speak. Do not assume anything. How about spending time talking to our children? Do you? Particularly for fathers, because this time we're talking to the fathers, dads. Have you spent time talking to your children? Next, do we as husbands believe that communication with our children is mom's responsibility? Do you feel that way? That this is mom's work? I'm too tired. I'm too busy. Do you feel that it's also your responsibility? I remember for a period of time in my family, because of our work in Portland, for me and the two kids, we were in Seattle. My husband, he was serving in Portland. So every weekend, I would go to be with my husband. And during the weekdays, from Monday through Friday, I was with the two children. Because my son at that time had not graduated from high school. So for about 4 years, we were separated. So many times, because I had to ride the train from Seattle to go to Portland. And so Brother Bohr would come and pick me up. He would ask me about this, ask me about that. And I would say, please, you are a dad. Just call your children. Just call your kids. Why do you have to go through me? Just because I'm living with them, but you are their father. Pick up the phone. Call them. They'd be very happy that you called them. It's not that everything you have to go through, Mom. I refuse to do that. So, next, brothers, what does the scripture say about this mindset? This is very, very interesting. The Bible does speak about the responsibility of the father as well as of the husband. And this, we're going to ask everybody to turn to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 30, verse 12 to 15. And this I have typed out. We're going to read every verse. 30 verse 12, but if her husband hath utterly made them void on the day he heard them, then whatsoever the Lord shall forgive her. Every vow and every binding oath to afflict the soul, her husband may establish it, or her husband may make it void. Verse 14, but if her husband altogether hold his peace at her from day to day, because he held his peace at her in the day that he heard them, verse 15, but if he shall any ways make them void after that he hath heard them, then he shall bear her iniquity. These are very serious warnings. They are very, very serious. When Moses spoke these words, it speaks to the fathers. Fathers at home, this is the responsibility of covering for your wife, for your daughter. If you heard what they say, you can agree or disagree. Now, on the very day of, you need to do this. If you are quiet, you hold your peace. If anything happens, you bear full responsibility. During those days when we were reading and studying the book of Numbers, this really spoke to me to remind me. Oftentimes in our family lives, in our families, whatever the children express in their opinions, whatever behaviors they have, as parents, they see it as if they don't see it. When they should have said something, they didn't say. But when they should not speak, they have spoken too much. In this learning of what to say, parents, they have given the responsibility elsewhere, especially when our children are young. If you do not restrain on the day of, the iniquities shall be on the father, on the parent. This is very heavy word. So to a believing family, if you have believed in the Lord, you have children, and you desire for your children to grow up and to walk in a very positive path to love the Lord, you need to pay attention to very minor and small things. In small things, within you, you need to have a sense of life. We go back to the first slide. Do you have a sense of life? My son, when he said this, he should not have said it. My daughter, when she said this, it is wrong. At that time, did you correct your child? If my daughter, outwardly, if she comes from somewhere else and says, at school, it was like this. My teacher have taught me this. And it is completely going against the scripture. As fathers, you need to say something. As parents, if you know that in the public school, it is a very dark and terrible environment, they have brought home these opinions, these teachings, this education, when they come home and say it, as parents, do you say something? When Moses said this in the book of Numbers, chapter 30, it's a very big warning to us. Should we hold our peace or not? We continue on. Do we realize the following? Our habits at home need to be an example. Do we exhibit self-control over internet or cell phone use? We're going into more and more details. Previously, it was the overarching principle. Now it is over everyday life, particularly brothers. How much time are we on the internet? How much time are we on our phones? And our children are next to us. Do we feel that they exist or not? Oftentimes I find, because technology is so advanced, the family dynamics are all gone. One time is really strange. It was Mother's Day. And on that day, Brother Bohr asked me to a steakhouse, and across from us, there was a son And because it was Mother's Day, the son brought his mom out to eat. But it was very strange. The son kept looking at his phone. His mother was constantly looking on her phone. The food came. And the next son also arrived. So now there were two sons facing their mother, and as they were eating, they were all staring at their phones. Three adults sitting there, all celebrating Mother's Day, watching their phones, eating and looking at their phone. And when the meal was over, everybody wiped their mouths and left. That was Mother's Day for that family. I thought it was so tragic. So tragic. Brothers and sisters, what is grabbing at our hearts? It's so tragic. Number two, time spent together with our children. Priorities? Okay. Yes. Have we specially spent time with our kids so that they could tell us about all the things that they've gone through? If we do not make time for them, they will never come to find us. If from their young days you have not made time for them, they will not come to look for you. They will not make time. You need to make time for them. Number three, sowing the seeds in their hearts, spiritual versus practical things. LGBTQ, social media, propaganda issues, who we are, who is the Lord to you, how valuable it is to know the Lord. Brothers and sisters, particularly fathers, oftentimes I hear the dad saying, I don't know what to say to the kids. I don't know what's going on with them. I don't know what school is teaching them. But if you are comatose, you cannot but know that the education, the opposition is so dark. In these social matters, like LGBTQ, in social media, the things that are being written, how much do you know of the Lord? In these issues and topics, can you use simple childlike words for them to understand? Can you explain these things to them? Because children are so innocent. Whatever they hear, they accept. Whatever the schools teach, they will hear it and think it's okay. But as parents, we need to have discernment. Especially in the public school, the things that are being taught, it is not okay. If you do not ask, how would you know? Let me give you an example. I think I spoke about this a few years ago, but in order to explain clearly, let me say it again. One time, I went home. My husband was in the kitchen and said to me, today, your son, today, I think he's having a temper tantrum. I don't know what's going on. All day long, he's been hiding in his room as soon as he got home. My son was in fourth grade at that time. And I said, Stephen went to his room. What's he doing? And my husband said, I don't know. He's just in his room. He won't come out. I just got off work. I had not had dinner yet, but I went to his room and I said, what is going on? And he was so angry. He was laying on his bed. He was just laying there. He said, today, my classmates bullied me. They picked on me today. I said, who picked on you? What'd you do? He said, they were laughing at me because they were calling me a virgin. I heard that and I was shocked. I said, wait a minute. What's wrong with being a virgin? What is a virgin? So I said, first, as a child, the children should not laugh at you. This word is not a bad word. It is correct. Because we believe in the Lord Jesus. We are the children of God. We are not a dysfunctional family where we have lots of other relationships outside. So do not be sad. The children, they do not understand. He was only in fourth grade. And yes, in the school at that time, there was sexual education. And so at that time, to them, they thought that was right, and all of these things are wrong. So the entire environment was upside down. And my son, he thought that he had offended someone or had sinned. And so as parents, if you do not spend time with your kids, do you not know what they are going through? Do you know the conflicts that they are experiencing? How in the world would they face the outside world? So in this aspect, as parents, we need to be proactive. Your children are in grade school, first through fifth grade. This is the best time to educate, to teach. When I experienced the Lord, this is what happened. When I was little, this is how Jesus helped me. When I was young, I prayed and Jesus helped me in this way. This to me is very important. Tell the spiritual, the practical things and compare the spiritual with the worldly. Say, Jesus likes this. Jesus does not like this. Spend time to explain these things. Tell them what is LGBTQ. Tell them, explain it clearly. Today, a lot of parents, they don't know what it is all about either. So please, go online. Find what is the definition of lesbian, queer, transsexual. These things are destroying the purity of the children of God. These are the end days. This is the work the Holy Spirit needs to do. Next, the openness with our children. Are we one-on-one with our honesty? Is there an atmosphere at home where our children can openly discuss issues with no fear of arguments? In these two points, they are so important. Oftentimes, perhaps in our hearts, we have our struggles. We have some difficulties in our daily lives. Have you ever told your children about these things? Mom and Dad, we have this need. Please pray for me. Have you ever told your children this? I really encourage everyone, tell your children, Mom and Dad have this need. Please pray for me. Otherwise, the children will keep feeling that Mom and Dad, they're so spiritual. Mom and Dad know everything. I'm just dumb. I don't know anything. And then they dare not say the things that are going on in their hearts. If you are honest and you make your children one a member of your house, that I have a need, they need to know it. That at any time, they can tell me, I will not punish them. I will not rebuke them. Don't end the conversation with an argument. If you have any inkling that our children, they need our prayers, or that we need their prayers, then they will feel that they are an important member of the family. We need to allow our children to know this. Don't think that the children constantly need to be this way. They can't be that way. We need to change our mindset of being a parent. I have found that when my children were growing up, of course, my family, because of a lot of the church services and in my work, there was a lot of struggle. I remember I told my children, pray for Mom. Mom really needs your prayer. Mom is struggling in this way. And so when the children prayed for me, they were my best spiritual companions. They were my best friends. From young all the way to old, my children. There's nothing that we cannot discuss. We talk about anything, everything. And after they have become adults and they have their own families, we still talk on the phone. It's still, we have open communication. This is not an issue. So in this matter of communication, when we speak of Nabal, nobody dared speak to him. It really brought up this issue of communication to my mind so that I share more about it. Because it has to do with our daily lives now. We need to be able to use this. Of course, we're not parents where our children dare not approach us. But we do want our children, that whatever is in their heart, that they would quickly come and find Mom and Dad. quickly find mom and dad, and quickly pray with mom. In this learning, it is so important. Now, we need to save some time for prayer. I haven't finished this topic. I do apologize. I need to go on to speak of Abigail, but I'm going to pause here. Because I do need to save time to pray. I'm going to stop here today, and we will spend 10 minutes to pray. And next Saturday, we will continue from our next slide, so I won't have as much of an introduction next time. Okay, so now we will go into our breakout groups. The responsible saints are now considering breaking up everybody into their breakout rooms to pray.